We have had quite a number of text messages about road safety and different road safety measures. I'm delighted to join on the line now is Eddie Mulligan. Good morning, Eddie.
Good morning, Damien. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Belated Happy New Year to you, your family, and everybody involved in the partnership.
Many happy and healthy returns.
Thank you. Just remind our listeners, please, Eddie, as part of this Road Safety Week in conjunction with yourselves, talk to me about the partnership, please, and how it's constituted and what it does. And then we'll talk about, I suppose, the very important projects that you're involved in, including this week's initiative.
Damien, the Waterford Local Community Safety Partnership is made up of what we call 30 partners. And it was a pilot project for the last 2.5 years, but it has now been rolled out nationally through the Police and Security and Community Safety Act 2024. But within the partnership, what it really is, the essence of it is by state agencies and communities working together, is to identify local community safety issues and put together collaborative interventions between the community and the agencies to actually help improve the safety within the local areas. And the type of agencies that we have in partnership in the Waterford Local Community Safety Partnership, obviously Waterford City and County Council would be one of the partners. Then you'd have An Garda Síochána, you'd have the WWETB, HSE, TUSLA. Then if you go across to the community sector, we have a representative for young people under the age of 25. We have residents associations. We have the voluntary sector. And I suppose we have social enterprise sector. So we have a good cross range of communities and state agencies represented.
Now, in terms of initiatives that you do, obviously, there's quite a few, wide and varied. And you decided that one of the issues that have come up, not only because of the road deaths and crashes, but also feedback that you've been getting from your members and from people, I suppose, that are on the street, as they say. So why have you got involved in this road safety initiative?
Yeah, and that's exactly it, Damien. And I suppose from day one of the partnership coming together, one of the biggest community safety issues that has been brought back to us from the people on the ground in the communities is road safety. And the road safety issues, they stem right across from pedestrians to cyclists to vehicles themselves, speed outside schools, for instance, and also buses, children embarking and disembarking on buses. So right across the whole range of road safety issues, we're getting returns on every single one of them. And it could be issues from people not wearing their seatbelts, issues on people speeding, issues in relation to people not taking cognizance of the road safety signs or the speed limits in their areas. And we work collaboratively then with interventions. We have a very good working relationship, obviously, with An Garda Síochána, Waterford City and County Council Road Safety Officer. And obviously then the RSA as an agency has supported us in a number of our interventions. And people might remember there last year we had the RSA Interactive Shuttle, and we also had the RSA team down at schools in Tramore, and we had days in Dungarvan, Waterford City and Tramore. And the partnership last year decided that really setting off into 2025, we wanted to send out a strong message about road safety and get people focused on road safety as we enter 2025.
Okay. We're looking at a number of different topics this week. We've spoken to the Road Safety Authority, talking to yourself. Yes. We'll be talking to Richie Roberts about driver behaviour. And one of the main aspects we're covering as well is speeding. The problems people have in terms of understanding what speeding is. Like, it doesn't mean doing 140 kilometres an hour on a dual carriageway. It's about the appropriate speed. And particularly in urban areas, Eddie, it's a big problem, yeah, isn't it?
No, 100%, Damien. And I suppose certainly as now people have been encouraged to walk more and more, we have more open spaces, which have become, I suppose, pedestrian priority, as you might put it. And obviously speed limits of 30 kilometres per hour. But certainly one statistic that hits me, even for people, I'd often hear people say, 30 kilometres, but that's too slow. But like, even with 30 kilometres per hour, if a car hits a pedestrian at 30 kilometres per hour, you're looking at 1 in 20 of the people hit will be killed. And I don't think a lot of people realise that. And then obviously if you go up in speed, if you go up to 50 kilometres per hour, it's 1 in 3 will be killed. If you go up to 60 kilometres, it's 1 in 2. So it's, I think the correlation between speed and death is actually traumatic when you stop and actually think about it. And look, here in Waterford, we've suffered enough road deaths and, I suppose, life-changing injuries. And really the people in the communities want this focus. They want drivers, cyclists and pedestrians to be very much aware about safety when they're actually using the roads and footpaths.
So for our listeners today and this week, to take some messages from what we're saying, that there are groups out there like yourselves that are very important to communities, that people can go to ye and talk to ye about areas, for example, like we'd say people go to councillors as well and talk about speed bumps and speed ramps and speed signs that are needed in estates. So there's lots of different avenues out there, and very importantly as well for children and education for teenagers, Eddie.
Yeah, completely, Damien. And one of the initiatives that we're actually probably at the preliminary stage of is that, say, the community safety, part of the community safety partnership is we do a lot of learning from other states. So we've had two learning experiences with the community safety partnerships in the United Kingdom. And certainly at the most recent one and the one before, there's one initiative that is actually quite good up there. It's an initiative called Kids Court. So we're hoping to bring forward that initiative as a pilot within Waterford in 2025. And that is where if you're actually caught speeding outside of school, you'll have two options. And this will be working closely with an Garda Síochána and the court service, is that you will have one initiative is where you'll accept your pints and your fine. And the second one is that you will appear in front of a kids' court to answer to the children as to why you were speeding outside of schools. And so that is one initiative we're looking to bring forward. And also in the middle of last year, we were at another cross-border learning initiative where certainly I was very much kind of had to sit back and realize that people are still not wearing their seatbelts. And another message that came out on the whole island, that one in four fatalities, people are just not wearing their seatbelt. And another thing that I suppose for someone of my age, which I actually thought was shocking, is that there's become an increase in acceptability of drink and drug driving again. And that is something we want to stop and stem in the bud. And it's not just Waterford Community Safety Partnership saying it. It is actually the people from within the community that are saying, we want to change the perception that it is acceptable to drink and drug drive, or it's acceptable not to wear a seatbelt. So that's what our message is today. Working together with the communities, working together with the state agencies, is asking people when they're using the roads is to think safety first.
Eddie Mulligan, if anybody wants to get in touch with ye directly, do you have an email address, a phone number? What's the best way to contact you?
The best thing is our email address. And our email address is communitysafety@waterfordcouncil.ie. And also, if anybody is unsure about that email address, all you have to do is Google. Even if you Google Waterford Safety, Community Safety, it should bring you directly to our webpage on Waterford City Council and has all contact details there to contact us by phone or email.
Super, brilliant. Eddie Mulligan, thank you very much for joining me, and it's a pleasure working with you on this initiative this week. And Paul is here in studio. He's Inspector Paul Dunnew, Inspector for Roads Policing for the Waterford Kilkenny Carlow Division, a big area. Paul, how's it going?
Not a matter, Damien. Thanks for having me in.
Not at all. It's a pleasure to have you in. Thank you very much. It's a topic, as I say, we could talk about for ages, but we're only going to sort of hit the surface of some of the things. It's a big area you have to cover. Special mention to you and everybody in the roads policing area, and all guards obviously do roads policing in certain areas, but you also have your dedicated units, and I'd say you're busy.
Very busy. It is a big area. Three counties is a lot to cover. A lot of accidents, a lot of fatalities, unfortunately. Like, we lost 13 lives in my division last year, which is more than we ever had before. It's probably our 24 was our worst year, and we've already lost one early January there as well. So every year we start of a new year, it's here in January, and you're thinking and you're brainstorming, trying to think of what else can we do to try stop these road deaths and stop people being seriously injured on the road. So we're encouraged. We've great staff here in Waterford City Roads Policing fellas, some really good members there that are, you know, are out there every day trying to save lives, and that's their job, but they're committed to it, and they do a lot of work. And even looking at all the work they did last year, the amount of drink drivers and drug drivers arrested last year and number of checkpoints, you know, they did themselves proud. They did an awful lot of work, you know. So unfortunately, we just keep losing lives, which is our biggest aim to reduce.
Yeah, and since January the 1st across the country, I was looking at the RT News last night, 5 deaths over a certain small period, 7 deaths, nearly a death every 2 days. And any death is a death too much. And apologies and commiserations for anybody who's listening to this who has suffered a bereavement, because it might bring them back and bring the issues and stories back. Can I just ask you, before we talk about a few specific things, whether it be speeding or seatbelts and whatever, what is it, do you think, since COVID, or what is it in the last few years? Is there a change in attitude? Is it a societal thing which has been reflected in driver behaviour? What's your take on it?
Yeah, I'd say it's a number of things. I look at a number of things, but I think one thing, I suppose, you know, the country is doing well. There's plenty of money in the country. And when that happens, drugs becomes very prominent. And we all know cocaine use and cannabis use is rampant across the country. And we're seeing that in our drug drivers. We're seeing that, you know, with the amount of arrests in Waterford alone. We arrested 103 people in Waterford County last year for drug driving. What's interesting about that, Damien, when I look at a lot of the drug driving, is when my lads are out doing speed checks and things like that, and they catch a fella driving really high speeds, they pull him in for the speeding offence, then they test him for drugs, and the amount of them that's failing for drugs is phenomenal. So people on cocaine, that's what cocaine does. So then they get into a car and then they drive faster. So not only are they drug driving, they're speeding. So the dangers, and this is upping everything, you know what I mean? And this is what's putting people at risk and causing lives. But it really, so that's one big problem, I think, is drug driving. Drug driving is on the up.
And just on that, 103 people in Waterford County alone on drug driving.
Yeah.
Last year.
Drug driving alone.
Wow. And drug driving testing was only brought in the last few years.
Yeah. 2 years ago, we have the new drug wipe device, which is the way I explain it to everyone, it's like an antigen test. And it's very like an antigen test, and it'll give us a reading within up to a maximum 8 minutes. It'll tell us if someone has cocaine, cannabis, opiates. And it's a brilliant, it's a game changer for us because the other one was a bit monotonous. It took about 25 minutes, 30 minutes. You were holding someone on the side of the road. And if you did a checkpoint for an hour, you'd be lucky to get two people tested for drugs. This new device is so quick, most of the results will come up in 3 or 4 minutes on the drug wipe, and it'll tell us what drug, and then they're arrested and brought to the station.
Yeah. Now, in terms of other issues, and you've got figures and facts and advice, so hit me with a few more figures there, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, you know, the old drink driving is never going away. We have 244 people arrested in Waterford last year for drink driving. That's alcohol. That's 161 just in the city boundaries and 83 in the county, totaling 244. So no matter what anyone says, and we talk about, you know, what people are thinking about, and, you know, habits and trying to get rid of old things, drink driving is still out there. And a lot of fatalities across the country, I look at every fatality across the country, drink driving is a contributing factor for quite a few. So that's another mindset. So people are still drink driving. Probably my own personal opinion, looking at our division, that's not necessarily the younger people drink driving. You know, everyone kind of hits the young drivers. Believe it or not, there's more drink drivers from 27, 28 up than there is below. And a lot of drink drivers, you know, are caught from checkpoints, from guards driving behind them and seeing bad driving behaviour. And then we get quite a few then. They just drive it into a ditch or drive it into a wall, and then the guards come along and they're drunk. So when someone drives a car drunk and then they crash it into a wall or a tree, that's lucky that they didn't crash it into someone else and kill someone. You know what I mean? So,
can I ask you, do you know from those figures, are there many of those drink and drug arrests that are separate that you've just mentioned that are combined?
Some would be combined.
A few, yeah, but not many.
Yeah, not many, no. Okay. Not many, yeah, yeah.
So those that would be drug driving were just mainly on drugs.
Yeah, mainly on drugs.
Mainly, yeah, on drugs.
If someone is tested with the drug wipe 6S, they're arrested for an offence of suspicion of drug driving, and they're tested, their blood is tested then and up to, you know, analysed for drug driving. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If someone is arrested for drink driving on suspicion of drink driving, and their blood or urine is sent up to be analysed and it comes back zero, automatically the medical bureau will then check it for drugs, and we get some drug drivers out of that as well. Do you know what I mean? But in fairness to those, there's not too many in between. Okay.
Some other figures then, please.
Just the number of checkpoints in Waterford we did last year, we did just nearly 2,300 checkpoints, 2,293. That's the number of mandatory checkpoints. So that's checkpoints, breath testing people and drug testing. in fairness, Damien, that's a lot. You know what I mean? And that's roads policing members, and that's also the guards and the regular units in Waterford City, Tramore, Dungarvan, Dunmore East, across the county. There's a good buy-in from guards across our division, and especially in Waterford, where the regular units and everyone plays their part. And, you know, we talk about this 30 minutes that, you know, the 30 minutes that every guard had to do, that the commissioner brought out. The guards down in our division have always been doing it anyway. They play their part. They are given checkpoints by their sergeants every day, and they do two or three checkpoints as well as all their other work, and they get quite a number of drink drivers. And, you know, all these drink drivers and drug drivers that I get, they're by far, they're not all just roads policing. Do you know what I mean? That's every guard across Waterford. So yeah, we're very proactive in that side of things, and the figures show, because the figures are very, very high. They're worryingly high.
Yeah, you are, and I know a lot of the guards in Waterford, and you do a great job in that. And compared to other counties, again, one death in Waterford is one too many, but compared to other counties, there's a lot more deaths in other counties. We can talk about Donegal or Wexford or whatever. So you do very well, and fair play to you on the things. Are there many unmarked cars, by the way? Have you a figure on the many cars, unmarked cars?
Unmarked, well, we've actually got a new car in Waterford. We only got it last month, so we have a new high-powered car. So
don't tell us what colour it is, or don't tell us what it is.
Yeah, but we... you know, the National Traffic Bureau, Roads Policing Bureau, are introducing high-powered cars, unmarked cars, covert cars and different things. And luckily enough, we got one in the division that was sent to Waterford. So, yeah, that's an addition, you know,
you
especially...
We could do it more, obviously.
We could do it more. Yeah, and they will come more. Yeah. You know, we have an unmarked car in Kilkenny. We don't have one in Carlow at the moment. We had one, yeah, but it was crashed. So that's gone. So we'll be looking for another one. But we have one. We have a fairly new enough one in Kilkenny as well.
Yeah. Because some drivers, if they see a squad car, or they're coming against some cars and a squad car passes by or whatever, or there's a speed van, they'll flick the lights to warn them, you know, and all that sort of stuff. Whereas an unmarked car, again, I'd say has a lot more success.
Yeah, the members would love them. I mean, they would, because they, as you say, if someone's on the phone and they see a squad car, they'll see a patrol car coming 100 miles away, and they'll just drop their hand down and drive past the patrol car. Whereas in the unmarks, so the guards themselves would say they get an awful lot more detections for seatbelts and mobile phones and that in the unmarked cars. They're also good for high speeds on motorways and big routes, and our N24 and our N25s and these high offenders. It's safer for the guard to be in a high powered car that can take those speeds, as opposed to driving a car trying to catch someone driving in really high speeds. Our guards are highly trained to drive these cars, but it just makes them in a more comfortable zone when they have a vehicle that can do that, you know. I think, you know, another thing we talk about now, and it's a big thing, and tomorrow is actually National Mobile Phone Day and Distracted Driving. That's a major issue, Damien, and to me it is one of the biggest issues at present. And I think it's just a cultural thing. Everyone has a phone. Every minute of the day they're on their phones. To give you an example of what we did, a little exercise in Kilkenny City yesterday, for 1 hour during peak hour traffic yesterday morning, where we brought out some student guards, new guards that are in training, and we brought them out and put them in civilian jackets with guard members. I went out myself, and they just in the traffic going across schools, you know, passing schools, and we caught 10 people on mobile phones in less than an hour. From between 8 and 9 in the morning. Worrying, these are parents bringing kids to school. And the thing about, I'd always say, a lot of the guards, when they're driving around, catch someone on the phone, they're catching people talking on the phone with the phone up to their ear talking, because that's what we see. The ones we caught yesterday, because they were in traffic and that we had guards walking up and down the footpaths looking into cars, these people were actually texting, they were reading social media, and they hadn't their eye on the road and lifting their head up and down, up and down. And kids crossing the roads everywhere, you know, at peak hour time at schools. But 10 within the hour. And I've asked the members in Waterford, we're going to introduce that everywhere now. Even roads policing members, one gets out of the car and puts on a civilian jacket and goes 100 yards down the road, because people think they're being smart and they're putting their phone down between their legs, which is making it worse. So they're looking into the footwell of the car. Do you know what I mean? And they're not looking on the roads. So tomorrow is National Mobile Phone Day and Distracted Driving Day. And so we are asking all our members, we're going to be doing stuff like that. But we had asked people, doesn't matter, like the amount of people that said to me yesterday, oh, well, I was in traffic. That's no excuse. You know, there's students walking in and out, kids walking across the roads, parents letting kids out of cars. So, and we're not going to make any apologies for giving people €120 fine and 3 penalty points for being on their phone when they're driving. They just shouldn't be doing it. So I won't apologise to anyone for that.
Should they put the phone into the boot? Is there, like, again, some people will say, oh, I was waiting for a call from me mammy, or I was, you know, and they don't stop the car when they're on the phone. They don't pull in. So what should they do?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, there are some Bluetooth systems and all that, but and they can be a bit dodgy as well.
Yeah, well, we were just talking about the cars yesterday, and the 10 tickets we gave out yesterday, 8 of the cars that we give out tickets had phone kits in the cars.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but there's no phone, there's no car facilitates you to read social media on your phone when you're driving. And there's no, but there is there is Android Play and Apple Cart and all these things, so that you can actually press a button on your steering wheel and talk into a text message and send a text message if you want. I have it in my own car, and if someone sends me a message, it'll come up on my phone. It'll read it out to me, audio read it out to me, if you really want to do that. But otherwise, just put your phone down and don't use it. Do you know, it's simple. You talk about putting the phone in the boot is a great idea. I would encourage that more so with employers. So if you're employing people driving your fleet of vehicles, I believe the ESB have that in play. I know they had a few years ago, and I had an incident. But if you're driving on working with the ESB, and you know, a lot of their staff who've driven their own cars, they have to have their phone in the boot. That's part of an ESB policy, and I welcome that, and I'd love to see other people doing that and other big companies doing that, people driving vans and different things.
We only have 2 minutes left. Again, we could talk all day about this. Give me another couple of points before we finish up that you'd like to get across,
well,
please.
When I look at, we'll say, mobile phones, we gave out 1,400 tickets in the division last year on mobile phones.
Wow.
Yeah. And that is a slight bit up on last year. 423 seatbelts. I think seatbelts are more compliant now because vehicles are giving alarms and beeps and things like that.
But still, 423
people with no seatbelts. What I'd say about seatbelts is most people you'll find, it's harder to detect it, you know, a guard driving around trying to find someone with no seatbelt. But believe it or not, I've been at so many fatals through the years that if the person was wearing a seatbelt, they'd be alive. That's what worries me, you know what I mean? So, and there are a lot of people we find when we stop them with no seatbelt, it's kind of, oh, I forgot, or, you know what I mean? Now we get the odd person sitting on the seatbelt, so the seatbelt's engaged into the locket and then sitting on it. That's to stop the beeping. Like, it just beggars belief why someone would do something
just
like
put
that.
Put on the seatbelt, yeah. Like, it's simple, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. And speeding then, just over 4,000 speeding offences. 4,068 speeding offences. Speeding is a big thing, Damien. And especially down here, down in Waterford, on the M9, the Roads Policing lads in Thomastown, they're getting horrific speeds at Mullinavat, Danes Fort, up along the motorway. Some horrific speeds. And some people are driving at such higher speeds, our members will arrest them for dangerous driving and bring them to court, as opposed to giving them €100 fine and 3 penalty points.
Because they think they're on the motorway, they think it's grand, there's not going to be any crashes here.
Yeah.
And they're going, like, you don't know what the top speed was,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. We've had speeds up at 180 kilometres in excess, yeah, and they've been arrested and disqualified from driving. So we've had some crazy, crazy speeds, and believe it or not, some of those ended up testing some big speeds in excess of 160 kilometres an hour, and then test positive for cocaine as well. Our members are out there to make detections and that, and we do an awful lot of education. And education is one of our biggest pillars, you know, and our members go to schools, and we do an awful lot of schools talks across the three counties. We do a Lifesaver project with transition years and up. They're our new drivers. They're our coming new drivers, and we give a fairly hard-hitting presentation to those. And maybe if we're doing one, maybe one a year here, maybe could come to it and just see it, and then you could talk about it. You know, it would be a good idea.
I will. I'll do that. We're actually going to one of the courts, the children's courts, now on Thursday as well.
Yeah, I'd always welcome the media to come and see one of the talks, and can you get a better feel for it? And some of it's very hard hitting, and you can see the students being a bit shocked by it. But the idea is, I suppose, researchers will say, you know, hard hitting probably sits in people's heads. You know, no different than someone, if you're a family member and you lose someone in your family, or a close family friend to a traffic accident, it'll stick to you ever. And, you know, you'd probably behave on the roads differently because you're, an injured party or a victim of that. You know what I mean? So, and, you know, then we have Waterford County Council and Waterford Local Community Safety Partnership, even like this week doing a safety programme. We have a great relationship with Waterford County Council, City Council, and we do everything. We meet regularly. We meet every year trying to come up with ideas of how we can make things safer. And the council play their part with the roads and lighting and pedestrians and what we can do. And then finally, I suppose scooters is the new thing. There's new laws on scooters. There's new fines on the spot for scooters. And we've, our members are now looking at people. It's illegal to drive a scooter on a footpath. a place like Waterford, big city in Waterford, you know, you can't have people walking in and out of shops and expecting to be knocked down by someone flying down the footpath on a scooter. So we will be issuing tickets to those. We've asked all the members across Waterford and Kilkenny and Carlow to look at that, you know what I mean, and to start issuing tickets for scooters, because scooters are a problem. And people are just, you know, they're not lit up and not wearing high-vis jackets and different things.
And have you started yet?
Or Yeah, we have. No, there has been tickets issued already. Yeah,
right.
No, they're in play now. They're a fixed charge notice now for there's four different offences for mopeds and scooters.
What are the four offences?
So it's cycling on a footpath is one of them. Cycling the wrong way in the wrong direction. One person per scooter. You'll see people carrying people. I stopped a woman one time there probably about 6 months ago in Kilkenny, and she had two kids on the scooter in the lashing rain, and she doing about 20 kilometres an hour down the road and no safety equipment on any of them. Do you know, absolutely ludicrous.
So she was on one of these small little scooters?
Yeah, with two small kids bringing them to school.
Stop.
How they fit on...
Fitted on the platform. That's horrendous.
Yeah, horrendous, yeah. So, and this is happening regularly. So the law, you're not allowed to carry any passenger on a scooter. It's, you know what I mean? So look, at these are things, and we have a new device coming into the guards. It should be with us probably in the next week or two. There's a new device to test the speeding on, because depending on the speed of some of these scooters, they could be classified as a vehicle or a moped, because there's so many. I mean, you can buy them on the internet now and different things. You'll see some people driving mopeds, Damien, and they'll be doing 40 kilometres and 50 kilometres an hour. So we have a new there's a new device bought now, and it's coming in now across the country. Hopefully this month we'll have it before the end of January, and the guards will have that in the back of the car. It's basically like a treadmill thing, and they'll put the scooter on it, it'll measure the speed, and that'll determine whether they prosecute it or legal to drive it, or they need a licence to drive it.
Yeah. So this is the thing that'll be in the four-wheel drives for the Garda vehicles. Yeah. You'll take this out.
Put it on the ground. Yeah, and turn the moped, the scooter or whatever on the table, and it'll calculate, it's calibrated, fully calibrated, calibrate the speed of it, and that'll determine whether it's a legal scooter or whether it's classed as a moped or different things, because it's, you know, depending on the speed and the power and the engines, and a lot of these they're all battery operated, and they're bought in China and different places on the internet, so there's no kind of set standard to them, because they're coming in from, you know, abroad on the internet. But this new device now will dictate where we go with regards to prosecuting.
Finally and briefly, we've run over time on this. Again, anybody on scooters, you're not supposed to be on footpaths.
Absolutely, yeah. You can get a fine on the spot if you're on a footpath.
Okay, so the new law that was brought in, to remind our listeners, what is a scooter? Is it classed as a mechanically propelled vehicle? Is it a hybrid? What is it?
If it's over 40 kilometres an hour, it's a moped.
If it has the potential to go over 40, don't have to be doing 40.
No.
But if it has an engine that is capable of doing over 40 miles per hour,
you need an A1 licence.
It's classified as a moped.
Yeah.
And you need an A1
licence to drive that.
Okay.
Yeah. And insurance.
And insurance.
Yeah.
Okay.
And wear a helmet. You know, same as a motorbike.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anything over, potentially they can do over 40 kilometres, 40 miles over 40 kilometres.
40 kilometres.
40 kilometres per hour. It's effectively a small motorbike.
Yes.
Anything lower than that?
Yeah. Is a scooter. They're scooters. Power. There's a word on it, and it's gone out of my head now. But, you know, people are buying them. Another thing is you have to be over 16.
Yes.
That's the last. You have to be over 16 to use one of those scooters in a public place.
Do you have to have a high-vis jacket on, or do you have to just have lights on it, front and back?
Yeah, there's no, they are coming. I think that's coming down the line with regards to offences, but we would ask people. Yeah. You ask every child to wear a helmet when they're on bicycles. Why someone would get on a scooter and not wear a helmet is beyond me either. You know, and they should be wearing gloves or protective equipment. You see children going into skate parks and they wear knee pads and elbow pads and gloves and helmet. And then someone gets on a scooter that's going faster than any skateboard and they wear nothing, you know.
They think it's not cool.
Yeah,
no, that's the problem.
High visibility vests, Damien, is massive this time of year. Unfortunately, again, we've seen road deaths and very close to heart locally. High visibility is a problem, and that has been contributing factors to fatalities as well.
And just on the scooters, are scooters, again, they're supposed to be on the roads?
Yes.
They're not on the footpaths?
Not on the footpaths,
no.
Yeah.
So and again, it's the same thing as a cycle. You're not supposed to cycle on a footpath.
Yeah.
So the scooter's supposed to be on the road as well. Absolutely. So you treat it like a bicycle.
Yes, absolutely.
Per se.
Yeah, and should have lights on. It's the exact same as a bicycle.
Yeah,
you know.
Okay.
In the nighttime, you know, especially in the nighttime.
Okay. So much we didn't even get into. I'll definitely take you up on that issue of going to the school.
Yeah, I'll let you know when we're doing one down here. Yeah, absolutely.
I will. Paul, thanks very much.
Yeah.
To you and all your staff and everybody working with you, really appreciate it, and keep up the great work.
Yeah. Thanks a million, Damien.